Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody. Want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, April 1st. And I'm so glad you could join us. But I've got some news. This will be the last show ever. Due to unforeseen circumstances. April Fools. April Fools. I had to test for a second, hoping you wouldn't fall for it. Listeners, I had to make sure. And anyhow, I love doing this. It is April Fool's Day, by the way. And for the first time in my life a couple of years ago, April Fool's Day was actually on Easter, which, well, now, every 11 years, it's actually going to be kind of a common thing. Every 11th year. So, oh, by the way, Mom, I should be plugging it in. Those headphones, I should actually be, that little adapter needs to be, it needs to be adapted to my charger, because that's the little headset. Let me see here. Oh. Computer, but for some reason it was doing this cotton in and out thing.
Okay.
The adapter can also go into the. There's a certain way that I adapt the computer, the adapter to my charger.
Maybe this, right?
Oh. Wait a minute. I just did it. I don't know why it's doing that little noise. Hello? Let me just see. Oh, now it's working right. But anyhow, listeners, I'm sorry, but we just want to make sure everything is working right. But it's so glad to have you. And like I said a second ago, I love doing this. I have to tell you, and I'm so glad that it's now April. And believe it or not, in a week and a half, it's going to be Easter. Speaking of Easter, next week, it's going to be not only about Easter. We're going to be talking about the crucifixion. We're going to be talking about Jesus shedding his blood. We're going to be talking about what did he buy for us in that blood. What about that blood covenant? What is it? What's covered by it? And what are the seven things Jesus said? And so it's going to be some great shows next week. And I love doing it because I love Easter. And by the way, Easter is a big Sunday. I don't know what's going to happen. I imagine not too many churches are going to be doing services on Easter Sunday. In the natural, that is, we still believe in miracles. We still believe in miracles. I still believe in miracles. In the name of Jesus, this thing is going to die so quick, right now. This COVID-19 and the demon that goes with it that I have nicknamed Koron. You say, why did you call it Koron? Well, take the word Corona, take the A off, that's what you get, Koron. I think it's kind of, you know, it is what it is, but we have to continue to take authority over this virus and the demon behind it and all this fear. We have to. And so, I just got back from the ice cream place called Nutter Butter Ice Cream. Very delicious. I don't know what it is about Nutter Butter and ice cream, but it was really good. I like Nutter Butters. I really do. And so take it for what it's worth. But I enjoy them. Some people might not like them. I do. And tasting really good. Kirk's Dairy Farm. They actually have a farm where they raise their own cows and stuff like that. And it's good, wholesome ingredients that they make. Some of the best ice cream that I know of, so that you can go to the ice cream, you scream, we all scream for chocolate. And it's right near my mom's house here in Clarkston. And so I want to encourage you to please, by the way, do support those local businesses. And when we were out there getting ice cream, there were several cars sitting there eating ice cream. And four more cars pulled in the drive-thru behind us. Four of them. That was good to see. I know we're supposed to stay at home and they've closed everything down. I think that whole thing is rubbish, if you ask me. All these orders that they've done to make everybody stay home and all that, I think part of that is all fear-driven. And they can say flatten the curve, but here's the deal, and here's why we need to pray. Because here's the deal. In Michigan, it is very scary what's happening right now. Specifically, our governor, there were many governors that acted after ours did, you know, to put in social distancing and stuff. But we have the third highest number of cases. They continue to shoot up by nearly 1,000 a day. And we need to pray that the devil get his hand off of the state in the name of Jesus. Because when you're in the top, and when you're not only the top five 3 days running, but your caseload continues to shoot up like a rocket, it's time to pray. And that's even after you're trying to flatten the curve. And I know they can say all they want, you know, testing. You see, have you heard that there's problems with these tests? That a lot of times there's more positives than what there could actually be, really? Have you heard that somewhere? Because, mind you, there are, the fair amount of, real positives, and my heart goes out to those who really are suffering. But at the same time, it's almost like guaranteed that at least 1 in 20 that are tested will be positive.
Right now, but we're praying against
it. We're praying against it, but I'm just saying, right now, I wonder, is that many actually have it, or is part of it something with some of these tests? That's kind of what we don't know. And because we don't know, that's part of why we have to pray and curse this thing, and curse this thing and the demon behind it that I have called Koran, but we have to curse it, and all the, and they can, and they can claim all they want, oh, well, mother can help. To that I say, with where we live, we'd have to wait a while for the warm mother to come, not only that, but also to see if it has an impact. 2, Jesus can do what warm mother cannot. He can take it away, and we don't have to have a 100-degree day with extreme humidity to do it. Even though I have said, usually I'd say I want to go up to 80, to start with, to 80. But lately, the last few weeks, I've said, can we have it go to like 100 with like extreme humidity, just to get it out of the air, just so that it can't spread no more. But God can work way quicker than that can, and we all know it's true. So we're going to pray in a few minutes after I remind you what you're supposed to pray. And by the way, this list is remaining the same except for I'm adding an element. Pray over your specific state, wherever you are, whether it's New York or Texas or Michigan or whatever other state it could be. You need to pray over your state as it involves, the healthcare providers, your governor, and it's really got a hold on Michigan because we're close to 10,000. I come in the name of Jesus, it's going to go down. It's not gonna keep going up like this. Obviously, even if there's one more, it adds one to the tally, but it won't be going up like that no more. It'll be going down in the name of Jesus, because this is not acceptable to me. And so I take authority over it. You should too, over your state. In some places it's getting better. Other places, bottom line, we need to pray. Also, you need to pray over your specific state, whatever state it is. You need to pray over, you need to curse the virus itself and the demon behind it. That has caused all this fear. And let me tell you something. If you have all this fear, fear could very well be what causes you to get the virus. Don't you think? If you don't act in fear, if people didn't act in fear about this whole thing, maybe we wouldn't have as many cases. Ain't that the truth? Caution, yes. Caution is good. But fear, the amount of fear that there has been makes it something that I must address. But caution is great, but can't be having all this fear. Because fear, you're always just fearful all the time. By the way, being fearful, not just of this, but being fearful all the time, period, terrible. We're not supposed to, as Christians, we're not supposed to be fearful. We're supposed to be cautious, but not fearful. And so we need to curse it. Also, government officials, also, we need to pray for those who are on the front lines. What I mean by that is, I mean these healthcare workers, doctors, nurses, nursing assistants, those working in the urgent cares, the emergency rooms, the EMTs, all those who are working on these front lines with these patients. So we need to pray for all of that. And do the natural stuff too. Wash those hands. If anything, maybe some of you will have gotten your sanitization up a little bit, if anything. But most of all, we got to pray. I'm going to do that right now. Heavenly Father, first off, I curse this virus. In the name of Jesus, this virus will die. In the name of Jesus. COVID, you will get your hands off of this earth, of this planet, and off of this earth, off of this country, and off of this state, and off of this region. In the name of Jesus, these caseloads will stop right now. The buck stops right here, right now. I take it, devil, you will get your hands off of the. Of us. You, COVID, you are dead. You will bow to the ground. And you will submit to the Lord Jesus, who is in fact the antidote. And I also curse Koran, the demon behind this thing. Koran, you are dead. You are broken. We speak life and not death. We speak life. I pray over the economy, that the economy will not suffer the way that they claim it's going to. In the name of Jesus, whatever it does will come back quickly. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your hand is on this country for your good. I thank you for state of Michigan. I pray that in the name of Jesus, that COVID, you will get your hands off of the state once and for all. We will no longer have the third most cases. Not no more. In the name of Jesus, devil, you will die. Your vice is broken. In the name of Jesus, now I pray over the excuse me, I'm sorry. Now I pray over these healthcare workers, those working on the front lines. I pray that you would bless them all as they deal with these patients. I pray that you would give them peace, and you would give them comfort. You would give them rest when they're at home resting, as I know right now for them, this is hard. This is very hard. And I pray right now, Lord God, that you just have your hand upon them, showing them what to do. In your name, Jesus. I thank you for our governors, our president, our Congress people, our senators in this country, that they would know best what to do, best how to address this whole thing, find out what they did wrong, admit it, what happened. I pray for China, where this came from. I pray that they would show everyone. I pray that they would stop their manipulation and lies, if there is any. Mom, there were some to get go. They did. I'm sorry. I tell it like it is. And that's what I do. If I don't have it, I don't say it. So, but I thank you, Lord God, that you're dealing with this. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that your hand is on this, as you've dealt with all these other things that have happened. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, you know what I believe is going to happen. Whenever it happens, I believe the blood of Jesus is going to be applied, and the plague will stop. Because whenever the blood was applied, the plagues were stopped, like in Exodus and other places where there's been plagues, like in the Bible. Whenever the blood was applied, the plague was stopped. That's what I think is going to be what stops it. Do you think in a way that could be the vaccine? Yeah. But you don't. And the cool thing about this will be is that you don't even have to get a shot to get it. You won't even have to get a shot to get it, because it'll just be the blood of Jesus being applied. He stretched out his hand, and then all the powers behind it are broken. And I believe that's what's going to happen. As for dates, I think it's going to be sooner than what they all claim. Because they say this could go to June, this could go to August. They say this could leave for the summer, come back in the fall. Well, I believe the report of the Lord. You believe what you want. It's up to you, but I want you to believe the report of the Lord, because that's the report that I believe. His report says, I am free. His report says, I am healed. His report says, I am free. His report says, victory. Victory. And Jesus had so many victories, man. And so powerful. I love him. I'm so glad that he died on the cross for us and that he shed his blood. And next week, we're going to be talking all week. All week, every show, we're going to be talking about, you know, what did the blood of Jesus do for us? Why did he choose that way as the way to do it? Why? And so we'll be talking about that, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Amen. And so wanted you to know that. Coke is still the best soft drink ever, regardless of what some people might say. Some people sit there and claim, you know, do the do. The do is the best thing ever. Others will say Pepsi. Others will say 7-Up. Others will say, yeah, this one and that one. But I say the Coke and the related flavors be it vanilla, cherry vanilla, orange vanilla, regular vanilla are the best ones. You say, what about all the diet ones? Well, I leave those ones alone. You can think of them what you want, but I say the regulars are the best ones of the Coke. And remember, you can go to your local McDonald's, grab any size for just a dollar. Also, I wanted to encourage you to please tell others how they can be a part. The best way to be a part, you want to call in, either to listen or just to talk to Miracle Man about whatever you want to talk about. The best way to be a part is to call in. The number is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts, and when you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. You'll be taken through a call screener, and I'll be notified that we got a caller, and I will, and we'll go from there. What? All right. And so, now, I'm going to sing you a couple songs. One of them from last night, I'm doing it again. Well, he's God on the platform. He's God back at the door. He's God in the amen corner. God all over the floor. I know God is God. God don't ever change. God is God. He always will be God. Well, he's God in the Hebrew children. God in the fiery furnace. God in the lightning flashes. God all in my soul. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. God always will be God. Well, he's God when the lightning flashes. God when the thunder rolls. God in heaven. God down in my soul. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. He always will be God. Well, he's God of the Father. God of the Son. God of the Holy Ghost. God three in one. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. Always will be God. Well, he's God in my body. No, he's God who healed my body. God who saved my soul. God who healed my mind. God who makes me whole. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. He always will be God. Well, he's God in New York City. God in Tennessee. God in wherever you are. God right here with me. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. He always will be God. He always will be God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 I thank you, Lord, that you're always God and you never change, ever. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah In the middle of the mystery, I'll raise a hallelujah. Heaven wants to fight for me, and I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Is defeated. The King is alive. I'll raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I'll raise a hallelujah. Fear, you've lost your hold on me. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven wants to fight for me. And I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Oh, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Hey, death is defeated. The King is alive. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. The presence of my enemy. Sing a little louder. I'll sing a little louder. Sing a little louder in the presence of my enemies. Sing a little louder. Heaven wants to fight for me. Sing a little louder. Heaven wants to fight for me. Sing a little louder. Fear, you've lost your hold on me. Sing a little louder. And I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. Raise a hallelujah. I'll raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Give you praise and honor and glory. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these listeners tonight who have made the decision to tune into this program tonight to learn about you, Jesus. To learn about you, God. About what you've done. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. Thank you that your hand is upon us. And we're so glad that you are right here in our midst all the time. I thank you, Lord God, that you are our rock and our shield and our buckler, that you do make us lie down in green pastures. You are our shepherd. We shall not want, and we shall fear no evil. And I thank you, Lord God, for the time that we have in the Word tonight, that you would use me tonight as an oracle. And I give you permission, Holy Ghost, to interrupt me whenever you feel like it. And I will obey you, Holy Spirit. And I make my confession over this program right now, Lord Jesus. I say that lives will be healed as a result of this program. Chains will be broken. Blinded eyes will see. Deaf ears will be open. We'll have liberty. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that sponsors and partners will come into this program. I thank you that finances will come in. I thank you that increases in listenership will come in. And most important, Jesus, most important of all, I thank you for that huge harvest of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Let's go to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus 9. Praise God. I'm a Bible man, and you are?
Bible people.
Yes. That's why we study the Bible here. That's why, because you're Bible people. If you're supposed to be. And I want to encourage you to please follow along. I sing, you sing. I pray, you pray. As I study the Bible, you follow along with me. Don't just sit there and try to pretend, you know, trying to look the part. Nope, be a part. Don't just look the part. That's how you're going to get the most out of this, is being engaged, being a participant, not just being a spectator. Exodus 9, we're going to continue talking about the plagues and what all happened. And I'm just getting to my spot. Just about there. I purposely went there kind of slow so that when listeners are trying to find it, that way to make it fair, you know? So that I can't say, oh, you're going to lose. I'm there. You lost. Because there was actually a time when Dr. Buckley used to do that. He did that a few times. It was kind of funny. All right. Exodus 9, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go to Steak and Shake.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Wait. What?
Yeah.
Oh, nope. No. Oh, it turns out I made an error. I'm sorry.
We're going to Five Guys, to your show.
Okay, let's try this again. Let my people, God said to Moses, let my people go that they may worship me. No. That was me reading it wrong. That was me reading it wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. That's so you can get a pay it. That's so you guys, sometimes I do that with Dr. Buckley well so that I know your listeners aren't falling asleep.
Okay.
And you ran with it anyway.
I did.
Dr. Buck, he wouldn't do that to pastor, the God of the Hebrews says. Let my people go that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them back, the hand of the Lord will bring a terrible plague on your livestock in the field, on your horses, on your donkeys and camels, and on your cattle, and sheep and goats. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and that of Egypt, so that no animals belonging to the Israelites will die. The Lord set a time and said, tomorrow the Lord will do this in the land. The next day the Lord did it. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one animal belonging to the Israelites died. Pharaoh sent men to investigate, and he found not even one of the animals and the Israelites had died. And Pharaoh had compassion, and he realized, oh, wait a minute, Mom. It doesn't say that, does it? Yet Pharaoh's heart yielding, and he would not let the people go. Again, verse 8. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot from a furnace and have Moses toss it into the air in the presence of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over the whole land of Egypt and festering boils will break out on men and animals throughout the land. So they took soot from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh. Moses tossed it into the air, and festering boils broke out on men and animals. The magicians could not turn the page. The magicians could not stand before Moses because their boils that were on them and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he still would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said to Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning to confront Pharaoh. Tell him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go, so they may worship me. Or, this time I will send the full force of my plagues against you and against your officials and your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. And by now, I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. But I have raised you up for this very, so that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. You still set yourself against my people and will not let them go. Therefore, at this time tomorrow, I will send the worst hailstorm that has ever fallen on Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Give an order now to bring your livestock and everything you have in the field to a place of shelter, because the hail will fall on every man and animal that has not been brought in and is still out in the field, and they will die. There are these officials of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord, hurried to bring their slaves and their livestock inside. But those who ignored the word of the Lord left their slaves and livestock out in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky so that hail will start falling all over Egypt, on men, animals, and on everything growing in the fields of Egypt. When Moses stretched out his staff towards the sky, the Lord sent thunder and hail and lightning flashed down to the ground. So the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. Hail fell and lightning flashed back and forth. It was the worst storm in all the land of Egypt since it had become a nation. Throughout Egypt, hail struck everything in the fields, both men and animals. It beat down everything growing in the fields, and it stripped every tree. The only place it didn't hail was the land of Goshen. where the Israelites were. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron. "I have sinned," he said to them. "The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Pray to the Lord, as we have had enough thunder and hail, I will let you go. You don't have to stay any longer." Moses replied, "When I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hand in prayer to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, so that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But I know that you and your officials still do not fear the Lord God. The flax and barley were destroyed, since the barley had headed and the flax was in bloom. The wheat and was spilt, however, were not destroyed, because they ripened later." Then Moses left Pharaoh and went out of the city. He spread out his hands toward the Lord. The thunder and hail stopped, and the rain no longer poured down on the land. When Pharaoh saw that the rain and hail and the thunders were ceased, sinned again. He and his officials hardened their hearts. Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not let the Israelites go, just as the Lord had said through Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh." By the way, we're in chapter 10 now. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh. I have hardened his heart and the heart of his officials, so that I may perform these miraculous signs of mine among them, that you might tell your children and grandchildren how I dealt harshly with the Egyptians, and how I performed my signs among them, and that you may know that I am the Lord." So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, "This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, said. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. If you refuse to let them go, this time I will bring locusts into your country tomorrow. They will cover the face of the ground so that it cannot be seen. They will devour what little you have left after the hail, including the tree that is growing in your fields. They will fill your houses and those of all your officials and all the Egyptians, something neither your fathers nor your forefathers have ever seen from the day they settled in this land until now." Then Moses turned and left Pharaoh. Pharaoh's official said to him, "How long will this man be a snare to us? Let the people go, so that they may worship the Lord their God. Do you not yet realize that Egypt is ruined?" Then Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. "Go worship the Lord your God," he said. "But just who will be going?" Moses answered, "We will go with our young and old, with our sons and daughters, and with our flocks and herds, because we are to celebrate a festival to the Lord." Pharaoh said, "The Lord be with you. If I let you go along with your women and children, clearly you are bent on evil. No, have only the men go and worship the Lord. That's what you have been asking for." And Moses and Aaron were driven out of Pharaoh's presence. And the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over Egypt so that locusts may swarm over the land and devour everything growing in the fields, everything left after the hail." So Moses stretched out his staff over Egypt, and the Lord made an east wind bring across the land all that day and all that night. By morning, the wind had brought the locusts. They invaded all Egypt and settled down in every area of the country in great numbers. Never before had there been such a plague of locusts, nor will there ever be again. They covered all the ground until it was black. They devoured all that was left after the hail, everything growing in the fields and the fruit on the trees. Nothing green remained on tree or plant in all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh quickly summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now forgive my sins once more and pray to the Lord your God to take this deadly plague away from me." Moses then left Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord. And the Lord changed the wind to a very strong west wind, which caught up and carried them into the Red Sea. Not a locust was left anywhere in Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go. Still, then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward the sky so that darkness will spread over Egypt, darkness that can be felt." So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky. Total darkness covered all Egypt for 3 days. No one could see anyone else or leave his place for 3 days. Yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses, and he said, "Don't worship the Lord. Even your women and children may go with you. Only leave your flocks and herds behind." But Moses said, "You must allow us to have sacrifices and burnt offerings to present to the Lord our God. Our livestock, too, must go with us. Not a hove is to be left behind. We have to use some of them in worshiping the Lord our God. And until we get there, we will not know what we are to use to worship the Lord." But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was not willing to let them go. Pharaoh said to Moses, "Get out of my sight. Make sure you do not appear before me again. That day you see my face, you will die." "Just as you say," Moses replied. "I will never appear before you again." All right. Well, what do you see? Several more plagues God had done. The plague of first he did after the plague we read yesterday, then he had the plague of locusts. Actually, there was several before that. There was the hail plague, and there was the plague of all these different plagues God did. But you want to know what Pharaoh kept saying? Several times in a row, Pharaoh said, "This time I have sinned. Let the people go." I mean, he said, "I'm going to let them go." But for a long time, first he was saying, "I'm only going to let the men go, not the women, not the kids, not the animals." Then he said, "I'm going to let all y'all go, but I'm not going to let the animals go." Then he said, "You can all go. But if you see me again, you're going to die." Moses ends up, what ends up happening is the last plague that he does is the plague where all of the firstborn of Egypt die. All of them. They all died. Not one of them was left. All because Pharaoh decided, "I ain't going to let the Israelites go and worship." So the question is, for all you listeners, what's keeping you from worshiping God? What's your Pharaoh? Is it your work? Is it your wife or husband that has all these demands on you? Is it just you not wanting to go to church or not wanting to read your Bible? What is it that's keeping you from having that ultimate relationship with God that you should be having? What is it? You need to with it being the last days, you need to find out what it is. What's keeping you from worshiping the Lord your God? And by the way, right now, a couple weeks ago, all of those things that people were paying homage to are now gone. For right now. Oh yeah. NBA, gone. NHL, excuse me, gone. Baseball, gone. For now. All three of them. March Madness, canceled. Mickey Mouse, gone. Hollywood, for now, all because of this virus. So the question becomes, what is that thing in your life that's keeping you from worshiping the Lord Jesus? What is it? Is it this things going on for which you don't want to be at church? You don't want to worship? There's that. It could be water. Maybe it could be your boss. Either way, though, Pharaoh kept saying, yeah. He would, several times, he said, yeah, I'll let him go. And then his heart would become hardened, and then he decided, nope, I'm not gonna let your people go. They won't be able to go serve me. But then, while the plague was going, he would say, "Yeah, you can go, just you men go." Then he said, I'll let all you humans go, but I need to keep the animals. Moses and Aaron had to tell him. Now, you see, Pharaoh, we need to take the animals with us too, because we need them in order to make our sacrifices when we worship God. When I think about this, I am so glad that we don't have to sacrifice animals to worship God, to worship the Lord our God. We just get to be there in spirit and in truth, worshiping God, reading His Word, singing, shouting, paying our tithes and offerings, living for Him, and obeying His Word. We don't have to kill all those animals anymore to have a relationship with Him, because Jesus shed His blood, and the blood of Jesus was that sacrifice. I'm so glad about that, because I don't know about you, but to me, that sacrifice and all those pigeons and doves and all the other stuff and all the animal beaks and all the other stuff, to me, that just sounds pretty dirty. I wouldn't want to do it. I mean, I would do whatever it takes, but I'm so glad that we can just worship Him in spirit and truth. We just have to show up, present our bodies, and live for God. And that if we sin, all we have to do is to repent to God, so that we may be forgiven. Whereas before, you had to do all this other stuff in order to become right again. And so, let me check my time. Let me check it here. How about that? I was just checking my clock. Now, you see, in all these cases, the plagues didn't happen. Oh, by the way, those boils that they had, all the Egyptians got them. And they were, it didn't say how big they were, but I don't want to try to picture it, because that one to me seems pretty disgusting. And that hailstorm, well, let me tell you something, folks. I greatly enjoy a nice, heavy-duty, rocking-it-out thunderstorm. Lots of thunder. Like those big loud thunders, which means that the lightning's close. And good amount of rain. At least for like, 20 minutes or so. Nice hard rain. Lots of thunder. And it just sounds awesomeness. Awesome sauce. But that hailstorm in Egypt, I don't think I'd want to see that. That was, all that hail destroyed everything. It destroyed so much. It destroyed so much. It really did. It's never hailed like that in Egypt since. It says, that Noah, there was never hail like that before then, nor will there ever be again. Just like it did with the locusts. And then the locusts destroyed everything that the hail didn't. So it was like that thunderstorm was like extreme severe.
Was it like hail?
Maybe. But it wasn't like one of those fun severe storms, because the amount of hail made it extreme danger to life and property. But, and then that darkness, it was so bad that people couldn't see each other. Now, darkness, when it's dark outside, I can feel it in my eyes. If you can visualize it, like I can kind of tell my eyes light from dark, especially if it's real dark outside. I can just tell, you know, what it feels like. Especially if I'm in a, if I'm not in a lit up area. And it does feel different. And but for those of you who can see, it could be harder to feel. But I can feel it. Just like how I can feel light. Also, when some of you visual, who have your natural sight and you can feel the darkness, that means it's pretty bad, don't you think? If you can feel that darkness outside, I do. And that darkness, by the way, didn't go away during the day. 3 days of straight darkness. The only place where they had light was the places where the Israelites were in Goshen. And there was sunny, great in 78 or 88 or something like that. Maybe sunny blue in 82. Because I've heard the phrase sunny blue in 72 before, but I like 82 better, so I like to say 82. Nice sunny warm day, but where the Israelites were, it was dark. And probably in like the 50s, even during the day. Although a summer evening when it's in like, and the, I mean, summer evenings, you see, listeners, I like it to be in the low to mid-60s, I would say. Even some upper 50s, I'd say. Because that helps make for good sleeping weather. If it's 70 and above, it means you've got to run the AC at night. Otherwise, it'll be muggy in the house. And you can think what you want to. Since it all depends on the night. It all depends. But anyhow, just saying. So, Pharaoh, even during, while it was still dark, he was like, Moses, come here. And so Moses went up to him, and Pharaoh said, I've sinned. Now, please, Pharaoh, please, Moses, go and worship the Lord. You can take everybody with you. All the humans, just don't take the flocks or herds. Like I said, Moses said, we have to have them. We're required to have them in order to go worship the Lord our God. It is a requirement for us to have them with us. It's not an option. We have to have them. So Moses, I mean, we have to have them in order to sacrifice to the Lord our God. And he said, nope. Pharaoh said, he said, fine. But if you come in my sight again, you're going to die. That's basically what Pharaoh told Moses and Aaron. And so they end up leaving his presence. stretches out his hand, and the darkness leaves. It's during the day, and it allowed the light to come back. It doesn't say what the it didn't say what the sky conditions were. Like at Cairo, it was sunny and 78 degrees at such and such. It was sunny and 84 degrees. You know, like the NOAA weather radio, where I used to have this NOAA weather radio and I'd turn it on and it would tell me the current conditions for nearby areas. They'd say, like, at Tri-Cities, it was sunny and 84 degrees. At Flint, sunny, and 86 degrees. At Detroit, it was sunny, and 88 degrees. The dew point, 58, and the relative humidity, 40%, or whatever that was, or whatever relative humidity that would be at that point. I said it like that because that's kind of how I like it. And so, anyhow, obviously, if I'm going to be in the pool outside, 82 is still good, but then I'd rather be closer to like 85, 87, 88. And so, like I said, Pharaoh was not a nice dude. He was very manipulative. He did everything he could to keep the Israelites from worshiping the Lord. Satan's the same way. He'll do anything he can. I'm getting what you're supposed to get in the service. He'll do anything he can. He'll put stuff in your way so that you can't go. Can't let him go. Can't let him. Can't let him stand in the way. And because I don't know about you, but I love the Lord. So glad that we serve an awesome God. We serve a mighty God. I love him. With all my heart, soul, strength, and mind. I really, really do. And to me, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. He really is. And so, I love to go worship him. I do. Anyone tries to say, I'm not going to let you go worship your God. That's it. I'm not going to let you worship God. I'll be like, are you crazy? I don't know about you. Jesus is my healer. He saved my soul. He not only saved my soul, he saved my life. He's never given up on me, ever. His love never fails. The love of God never fails. And it's not something I have to think about. Will he fail me today? Will he fail me tomorrow? Nope. You know why? Because I know he won't fail me. He will never fail me. And I know we sing the song, and it says in it, he never failed me yet. But the truth of the matter is, he never has failed us. He never will fail us. He never will fail us, ever. And so, we just got to have it in our minds that he's always on our side. And when God is on our side, all things are possible. Not one thing, not two things, not three things, not four. All things are possible with God on my side. Amen. All things. Not one or two. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord God, that these listeners would find out if anything is holding them back from worshiping the Lord the way they're supposed to be, living for God the way they're supposed to be. Pray that they would find out what it is and get fixed. Whatever it is that's keeping them from you. Pray that they would decide to live for you with everything they have once and for all, so that they may, you may have your way in them once and for all. In Jesus' name. Now, in terms of sports, NFL has announced starting next season, there will be 14 teams in the playoffs. The NFL said 14 teams. Now, how that's going to happen is two more wild card spots will be added. One in the NFC, one in the AFC. Trying to think here. Yeah, seven NFCs. I don't know how that exactly is going to work out. Because when you whittle it down from 14, you only have seven. That seems odd. I don't know if it means there'll be six, be three teams from each conference now they get a bye, four, or how that's going to work. I really don't know. Under this new system, a couple years ago, 2017, for example, the Lions would have made the playoffs at 9-7. I think there could be times under this scenario that there could be. I think what this is about to make it so that, you know how there's eight divisions in football, north, south, east, and west for both NFC and AFC equals eight divisions. And you right now in the NFC, for example, you may have NFC North winner. We'll say it's the Packers. NFC South winner, Saints. NFC East winner, we'll say Dallas Cowboys. NFC West winner, 49ers. And then AFC, you get the drift. With this new system, I think what, and then you'd have the next best ones, meaning teams 1 and 2 based on record would be the next ones in. So one more per conference is how it works. They'll get into the playoffs. And how do I feel about this? I don't know. The cool thing is it means more football. More football, more football, more football, more football. It's your sports for tonight. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no plague will come nigh us or our immediate loved ones. No plague. No COVID. none of this evil stuff, no fire, no flood, no crash, no sickness, no disease. None of this evil stuff will come near us, our immediate loved ones. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and prosperity. Be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. I sure love you. And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.